Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
I'm going to chat to Joshua Washington, who is the director of the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. Joshua Washington, what a pleasure it is to have you with us here on 101.9 Chai FM.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Joshua, I am embarrassed to say that I discovered you on social media not too long ago. I don't know nearly enough about you, and I don't know nearly enough about the organization Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. Tell me about them both.
Sure. So for me, I am a, so I grew up in a Christian household, and I'm a musician, grew up learning music and all those different things. And in our household, we were brought up to have an appreciation for the Jewish roots of the Christian faith. So it's something that we've always been aware of. It's something we've always come to have a respect for, that, you know, without the Jewish faith, there would be no Christian faith. And that was kind of the backdrop of how we were raised. My father founded Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel in 2013. And, at first it was just a media organization, an organization that just provided content for other, organizations to teach, for teaching materials and just unearthing a lot of different things. And when it comes to the Black Jewish relationship, the Jewish involvement in the civil rights movement, even the Black Zionist movements in the 1960s. So, that's where it started. And, now we still do that, but our primary thing is education. And we, are an organization that we teach and we highlight the Black Jewish relationship, fostering a better relationship between the Black and Jewish communities, strengthening those relationships, and also between Israel and Africa. And so a lot of the work we do surrounds those very things. So my father made me the director in 2020, and I've been directing since then, speaking and teaching college campuses, synagogues, churches, whatever will have us to come and speak. And we also have another program that we're working on too, where we actually train young Black leaders and to effectively, you know, do these community organizing events with them between their communities and the Jewish communities in their areas. To continue to help on the ground to strengthen those relationships.
Joshua, what I find absolutely fascinating is the graduation from belief to activism. And I'm thinking you chose a difficult place to play. You chose a difficult issue. You're definitely swimming upstream in terms of conventional wisdom. Do you find a massive amount of resistance or how did this activism happen? I mean, just because you believe that your religion is rooted in Christianity somewhere along the line doesn't mean that you've got to go out there and advocate. It's a process I'm fascinated in. How did that happen?
Yeah. So, you know, for us, when we were, like I said before, you know, we were raised to have an appreciation for the Jewish roots of our faith, and it was, For me, it very much was just a belief that I held. You know, it's something that I thought was that, you know, every Christian really should have that appreciation. I came to find pretty soon, especially right after when I first started going to college in 2008, that was not the case amongst Christians and non-Christians, that now the topic of Israel, the topic of the Jewish people, depending on who you're talking to, could be a very controversial one. And I think for me, what the first time that I ever was kind of confronted with this sort of sentiment was in, I believe it was 2008, the one of the Gaza wars. And I just remember, I wasn't very aware of what was going on in Israel, at the time I wasn't really following, you know, Israeli happenings or politics or anything like that. And all I knew was that when I walked into my practice room to practice piano, I looked and I saw posters up on the walls, up and down the hallways, of an event that was going on in support of the Palestinians in Gaza. It said that Israel was conducting these raids and just indiscriminately bombing them and killing them. And that was when I was first confronted with words like occupation and all those different things. And I looked at the poster and I was so confused. And, I didn't know exactly what was going on. I just knew that something didn't sit right with me. And so what I began to do for myself, that was when I just started to both ask my dad more questions, because he was the one who would teach us all these things, but then, you know, go back and do some research on my own. And it was hard. I mean, starting from that, I just didn't have a lot of other people to talk to, resources or anything, but there's just something burning in me that just, I knew that this just wasn't right. You know, I knew that what was going on wasn't right. And so over the years, especially in college, the more that I kind of kept my ear to the ground as far as what was going on in Israel, and then was kind of more privy to the propaganda surrounding Israel, getting used to some of those patterns of lies I get told, the more I felt equipped to actually speak against those things, where by the time I got to my junior and senior year, I'd never officially had started any kind of chapter or anything, but I was able to hold these conversations with friends of mine who either was agnostic or had these anti-Israel beliefs. And that's kind of where it started for me, was just conversations. People would either ask me questions, or I would hear something and I'll go, okay, well, actually, that's actually not true. Here are some things that I've learned, this and the other. So that's, for me, that's where it started. What really kicked it off was when I started to see that my legacy as an African, as a Black American, was being hijacked by people who hated Israel. So they were using the language of people like Dr. Martin Luther King and other civil rights leaders to impose something onto Israel that wasn't true. And so that actually made me angry. And that's when I started speaking out a lot more on social media, in general, in public, to speak out against it, because I saw that there was an agenda to use Black Americans to continue to perpetuate anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism. And I wasn't having it.
Joshua, generally at this time of the afternoon, we stop the interview, we play a bit of music. I've got a favor to ask you. Would you be able to stay with me for the next 5 or 6 minutes? And we'll forego the song, because it's not every day that I get to speak to somebody like you. And I think you trump the song. So, I'm finding the conversation absolutely fascinating. I'm finding it fascinating, the fact that human beings have the ability to choose. So you had the choice to either, follow the path that you have followed, or you could have just as easily adopted a replacement theology approach, which appears to be coming more and more mainstream. Certainly as a Jewish person in South Africa, it's something that I've come across lately that I didn't know existed.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I had a choice. I mean, replacement theology is dangerous. Christians, there are a lot of Christians who believe that, effectively what it says is that, God, the promises that God has made to the Jewish people, to the children of Israel, I should say, which is the same thing. I mean, but the children of Israel, they are no longer in effect, and that those promises now have been transferred over to Christians and the church. And we're the church is the new Israel, and, the Jews are, the God is done with them, which,
powerful stuff. And add into that a bit of white privilege and colonialism, and you're sitting on the wrong side of history.
Absolutely. I mean, not to mention the fact there's nothing in scripture to support it. I mean, Christians will try to take certain scriptures and apply it to it, but, there's way more scripture that actually speaks to, the promises of that God made to the children of Israel being forever, and forever and ever and ever. And nothing that really speaks to God saying that he's done with Israel, done with the Jewish people, that there's nothing there that says that. But it's taken root, and it's rampant. Yeah.
Joshua, why, given the fact that Jews and blacks really saw eye to eye during the 60s, during the civil rights movement times, they didn't other each other. They seemed to have a common agenda. Where did it all go wrong?
Yeah, so this is actually something that, and I'll give a very condensed answer, because I usually give a larger presentation on just that question alone. In the 60s, what the big pivot point in the black community was the 1967 war, the Six-Day War with Israel. That was when, and again, I'm just giving a little compact version of it. That is when effectively, Yasser Arafat and the PLO, they turned to, appealing to the black community to use us to fight against Israel. What I mean that is, by that is when the Arab armies lost the Six-Day War, the fight against Israel, it continues today, right? The physical fight against Israel still continues, but there became another fight that revved up, which was one of either legislation or a cultural one. And so what I mean by that is there were civil rights leaders who were tasked with, who volunteered, I should say, who tasked themselves with actually going in and investigating the Six-Day War, because they wanted to, you know, be able to speak to some of these issues. And the problem was that some of these civil rights leaders were who Dr. King would have described as color consumed. They already had these biases and these leanings that were more focused on skin color than actual equal rights. You had some people who were members of the Nation of Islam, people who already had friends who were Palestinian, who were giving them information that was contrary to the truth. And then you had so those same people who investigated actually came back and published this newsletter from one of the most prominent civil rights movements of that time called the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Yeah. And the newsletter was very anti-Semitic, was just a list of different lies and unfounded accusations that were thrown at Israel. Everything from colonization to the fact to European Jews not being real Jews to you name it. And that's kind of where it started. And that newsletter alone set off a chain of events that are still felt today. That some of the black leaders now that are anti-Israel, they will hearken, or they will kind of like reference the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and use that as their foundation to stand against Israel.
It's quite remarkable. And then it leads to a man like Farah Khan, who is just an ashamed anti-Semite, who has the support of a large portion of the black American population. So kind of scary stuff. But Joshua, we are out of time. I want to thank you so much for your time this afternoon. That will definitely not be the last time we speak. Javier Ronovitz says, hi, Simon. What an amazing young man. That's referring to you, Joshua. And Austin Gibb says he's also an amazing musician. So I believe that's true. I won't let you comment on that. Joshua, again, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for having me on here.